Very happy to welcome in a gentleman who we are very happy to welcome in as a regular on Hockey Central at Noon for the rest of the postseason and going into next season as well. Tuesdays are usually going to be when this gentleman joins us, but because of the news of yesterday, we said, well, yeah, we had it planned for Tuesday. We'll push it back to Wednesday instead. Very happy to welcome in from Sportsnet.ca and the Nation Network's Thomas Trance joins us on the program right now. Hello, Tom. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you on board, and we've got a lot to talk about today. And I want to first of all get your reaction from afar on the firing of Bob Hartley yesterday. Just kind of give me your thoughts on all that transpired yesterday.
Well, I thought it was a savvy decision by the Flames. You know, Brad Treliving talking about it being a fact-based decision. And when you look at the facts on the ground and the way that the Flames struggled throughout Hartley's tenure to control play, even though they have a pretty good blue line, like that blue line 1-6 can pretty much stand up against anyone else's. And when you have that level of talent on your back end, you should be able to control the flow of games better than the Flames were, certainly last year. Early in his tenure, there was less talent. I was pretty impressed early on by the hardworking ethos, that sort of culture, that hard hat culture that he instilled that we saw throughout sort of their miracle run last season. That sort of abandoned them this year. That wasn't quite so evident. And I think once that becomes less evident, the fact that the systems seem outdated and, you know, the way that Brad Treliving was talking about, you know, basically lacking confidence in Hartley to be the guy who can bring this team to the next step. I mean, I thought that was a pretty damning assessment of his coaching abilities. And I think there is an extent to which perhaps Hartley's overall approach, you know, from the over-reliance on that stretch pass, as well as the systems are a little bit outdated in the modern NHL. And if you believe that, and I think the Flames sort of came to that conclusion, you know, you're wise to pull the trigger on that move now before he becomes sort of a lame duck coach midway through next season.
Right. So when we're talking about controlling play, and you're right, that was something that was brought up numerous times yesterday, and the fact that the Flames are looking for a different brand of hockey than perhaps they were getting with the current coaching staff right now. How much is a coach or a staff responsible for that? How much of it comes down to systems, and how much of it comes down to personnel?
You know, that's teasing that out is the big quandary. When someone really can objectively sort of quantify that, that's going to be a huge breakthrough. What we do know is guys like Bill Peters in Carolina and guys like Mike Babcock in Toronto, you know, coached teams to control play, play sturdy defense, you know, really generate a lot of offensive zone time, despite having under-talented rosters, like much less talented rosters than Hartley had in Calgary last year. So, you know, I do suspect that coaching can have a pretty significant influence. We've seen, you know, Bruce Boudreau, a guy who might be a pretty interesting fit in Calgary, mm-hmm. repeatedly have that sort of impact on the teams that he's coached. And we've seen guys like Randy Carlyle have sort of the opposite effect on some of the teams that he's coached. So, you know, I suspect that it's not insignificant, and especially the impact can be felt at special teams. You know, I really think that's where coaching talent shows through perhaps a little bit more clearly. And, you know, the Flames of special teams were a significant issue last year. They were sort of an issue throughout Hartley's tenure. So, you know, I look at all of that. I look at that whole mosaic, the 5-on-5 struggles and the issues on special teams. And I say, you know, I'm not sure that Hartley is well cut out, perhaps, just in terms of his overall approach to the modern NHL game.
And you mentioned the Flames' pretty dreadful possession stats while Hartley was here. I'm curious if the quote unquote correct systems are put into place personnel wise. And you talked a little bit about the blue line there, and we know there's some pretty dynamic forwards on this group as well. Personnel wise, do they have the ability to make some pretty dramatic improvements in that regard?
I think so. I look down that roster and I see some pretty impressive two-way pieces. You know, Mikael Backlund, Michael Frolik, those guys are genuine play drivers. Monahan and Gaudreau and Sam Bennett, I mean, they're sort of still coming into their own in terms of their two-way game. Obviously, we all know what they can do offensively. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think those guys have the ability to be significantly more impactful defensively going forward. Certainly with the right teacher, I think that can help. And so, you know, I mean, I think this Flames team, there's no doubt about it. They've accumulated just a mass of talent. There's a really bright future here over the next 4 or 5 years. And, you know, when I look at that, when I look at the personnel, when I look at that defense group, I really think that there's the potential with the right coach here for them to make a pretty significant, maybe even an exponential improvement next season.
And obviously that remains to be seen, but the Flames fire Bob Hartley as head coach yesterday, and now the coaching search begins. Thomas Drantz with us from Sportsnet.ca and the Nation Network here on Hockey Central at noon. It's funny because one of the teams that you cover closest on Sportsnet.ca are the Vancouver Canucks, and a lot of consternation coming out of the West Coast today and yesterday, but the possibility that, wait, is Travis Green all of a sudden going to turn up as a candidate for the Flames? Because there's a lot of love for Green in Vancouver as head coach of their AHL affiliate in Utica. You kind of did a nice little workup on Green earlier in the week. I guess it was late last week you did. How highly do they think of Green in Vancouver, and how highly should they think of him?
Yeah, I mean, I think Travis Green's a pretty impressive coach. When you look at the Utica Comets, they were an expansion team 3 years ago, and he's been their only coach in their history. And they had a really rough first 25 games, which we'd expect of any expansion team in any league. And sort of by the second half of their first season, they began to control play. They began to win games. They began to play some pretty good hockey. The second year, they went to the Calder Cup final. And then this past season, you know, this Utica Comets team was pretty bad. There were a lot of PTOs coming in and out of the lineup. They had no first-line center in AHL terms. You know, there wasn't a Cal O'Reilly type really to help them sort of generate offense and dominate play. You know, they used guys like Brendan Gaunce out of position at center. There was a ton of blue line injuries in Vancouver, which necessitated a ton of call-ups. So, you know, they were pretty thin basically everywhere in the roster. And, you know, they controlled shots better than all but three teams in the American Hockey League. When I sort of look at those results, I mean, they also were had some of the worst goaltending in the American Hockey League, and they still made the playoffs despite all of those disadvantages. And they did it because they just tilted the ice reliably. And, you know, you talk to Chris Higgins, or you talk to Brendan Gaunce, or you talk to anyone who's played with for Green, right? They'll talk about the work that he does in the video room, yeah, how good a teacher he is, how tight his systems are, and the proof's in the pudding. I mean, they made the playoffs with an undermanned roster and very little, almost no puck luck this past season. And they did it just because they were able to control play. And to me, that just tells you a lot about the potential impact that a guy like him can make. You know, there's a clear example where coaching mattered an awful lot in dictating how well a team was able to control play at even strength, even though their personnel perhaps weren't up to snuff.
So what are the chances of him in the somewhat near future taking over behind the Canucks bench? Is that something that we could imminently see, or is he a guy that maybe does start searching for some opportunities elsewhere?
I mean, I think he will start. I think he'll be a candidate. I would be shocked if he didn't get several interviews, you know, this summer. I think the Ducks are an intriguing possibility. He makes his summer home in Orange County. So, you know, that would be the situation that I'd really look out for. I'd be curious to see if the Flames would look to get a rookie head coach. You know, that's a pretty tough market. I sort of think that, you know, it's a young team and it's a tough market. So you can make the argument that you want a young guy to grow up with these players. But I do suspect that you probably want someone who's perhaps been around an NHL team under that bright spotlight before. You know, I would suspect that it'll be someone more experienced at the end of the day. Though, you know, there have been some rumblings that Burke and Treliving could go off the board, and that could be interesting if they sort of do their own version of Dave Hakstol. But, you know, I think Travis Green, I'd be surprised if he's a serious candidate ultimately in Calgary, I think. I think Anaheim's more likely to be where we're going to see some rumblings in the next little bit. And in terms of Green's future in Vancouver, he's got one more year with the Comets on his contract. So, you know, if he doesn't land an NHL job this summer, I think he'll be back with the organization, and we'll see what happens with Willie Desjardins. There were obviously rumblings prior to the end of the season, but it seems like Vancouver is going to sit tight and give him another look next year. And so, you know, I don't think Green has the Canucks head coaching job in his imminent future, okay. Certainly not this summer, but perhaps next year.
So you don't anticipate Oilers fire Kruger to go out and pounce on Akins before somebody else does? You don't see something like that happening?
No, not in Vancouver. I would be pretty surprised.
Okay. Thomas Trantz with us from Sportsnet.ca and the Nation Network. Lots to talk about with him. The Flames have fired head coach Bob Hartley. Little talk about candidates there as well. Want to talk some playoff hockey with you as well, because you had the opportunity to cover round one between the New York Islanders and the Florida Panthers, and got an opportunity to see the Islanders win their first playoff series since 1993. Well, last night, they had the opportunity to go 2-1 up on the Tampa Bay Lightning with just over 30 seconds to go. They had a 4-3 lead, and the next thing you know, Kucherov ties it, Boyle wins it in overtime. How you saw this Islanders group, you've got a pretty good idea as to what they're made of, but how devastating a loss for them is that last night?
Well, I think they were due a bad break. You know, I thought they were pretty fortunate throughout that Panther series. You know, those two top two Panthers lines really just decimated them. I mean, they dissected their defensive layers consistently and generated, you know, 10 Bell scoring chances at will throughout the series, and Thomas Greiss was just inhuman. You know, he's an interesting guy, the Islanders goaltender. He is the most chill goaltender I've ever interviewed, by far. You know, after he stopped the Barkov penalty shot in overtime, right, I'm asking him, like, what does it feel like to stare down that shot in that moment, you know, with all that pressure? And he says, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. It happens all the time. And I tell him that that was only the third penalty shot in playoff overtime history. And he says, oh, yeah, but it happens a couple times in the regular season. And that sort of general surfer dude ethos is, you know, it's truly like it's not an act. He means it. Like, that's who he is. And so, you know, when I think about this Islanders team and I think about Tavares, who's got sort of a captain serious vibe, and you think about all the veteran talent they have. You know, Boychuk's won before, Letty's won before, Kyle Okpozo's a pro's pro, and Thomas Greiss is unflappable. He's the chillest human being I've ever interviewed in an NHL locker room. So, you know, whether or not a devastating sort of a loss like that will have an impact on them going forward, I mean, I'm skeptical. I think they have the personnel to weather and bounce back from that.
And then there's the ongoing goaltending issue in Dallas. And in game two, Kari Lehtinen gets chased. The Stars still had an opportunity to win that game. They lose it in overtime. So Antti Niemi comes in game two, gets the start in game three. And then he's chased last night after allowing three goals on 12 shots. This goaltending issue is turning into more than just an issue. This is turning into a real hindrance now in Dallas.
It is. But I also think you look at the defensive play that's in front of those goalies. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot of daylight between Lehtinen and Niemi. I think they're both, you know, roughly average. I like them both. I maybe like Niemi a little bit better. But, you know, I don't think the goaltending's been the issue for them against the Blues. When you look at what the Blues have been able to do to them in the neutral zone, just bullying them, just using that raw physicality to, you know, set up zone time, set up chances. And then you look at, you know, some of those defensive miscues. I mean, when was the last time you saw Troy Brouwer blow by a defenseman at the blue line? I mean, the defensive play from Dallas yesterday, I think, is the bigger issue in this series. And I don't think anyone's surprised that that's a big issue for this team, especially against a really good defensive club like St. Louis. You know, we're at the time of year where defense wins. And even though Dallas has been the most dynamic, you know, they've been the best show on ice all season in terms of their ability to, you know, score at will and generate offense. But, you know, at this time of year, what the Blues are able to do, you know, throughout their lineup, and especially with that sturdy defense core, you know, Dallas, it just looks to me like they can't match up with that. And whoever's starting in goal, I mean, I'm not even sure at this point that it matters.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right about that, because there were, I think, the final scoring chances last night, 31-15 in favor of the St. Louis Blues. So regardless of who your goaltender is, you're probably going to lose that hockey game when the scoring chances are that tilted.
Yeah, unless you have Dominik Hasek or something. And, you know, Lehtinen and Niemi are probably above average. They're certainly not Dominik Hasek.
Absolutely. Check him out on Twitter, at Thomas Trantz. His work on Sportsnet.ca and the Nation Network. Happy to have you on board, my friend. Looking forward to talking to you next week as well. But good chat, and enjoy the rest of your week.
You too, Pat. Thanks so much.